This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
As President Putin suffers setbacks in his war in Ukraine, he heads south to Central Asia for an in-person meeting with China's president. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Uzbekistan is the first international destination for Chinese President Xi Jinping, who until yesterday had not gone abroad since before the COVID pandemic began. That is the sound of a welcome ceremony, though, greeting the Chinese leader as he arrived in the ancient Silk Road city of Samarkand. There, he'll attend a two-day summit focused on regional security, economic and political cooperation. The war in Ukraine and growing tensions between China and the West are expected to loom large over the talks. But it's not what's happening in the summit that's grabbing international attention. It's who's meeting on the sidelines. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell explains a meeting between Presidents Xi and Putin will be closely monitored for any sign of growing cooperation between Moscow and Beijing.
The last time these two met was here in Beijing, just before the Winter Olympics, when they announced this new no-limits relationship between the two. And even now, as we speak, the navies of Russia and China are doing joint drills in the Pacific Ocean to coincide with this meeting. So there has been greater cooperation. But so far, China hasn't offered any sort of military assistance to Russia in Ukraine. Officially, Beijing says it's a neutral player. I think anyone sitting here would find that a bit of a stretch, because the government here has offered a lot of support to Russia. And if you watch the state-controlled media here, they're just constantly running lines from the Kremlin regarding how to interpret that war.
Now, President Putin isn't the only leader that President Xi is meeting. According to Russian state media today, President Xi has signed an agreement with Uzbekistan on an investment and cooperation deal worth $15 billion on the sidelines of the summit. How significant is that for China?
Yeah, so it's interesting that the first two stops are Kazakhstan, then Uzbekistan. These places are very important to China in terms of Xi Jinping's beloved Belt and Road Initiative to have these fantastic transport links between China and Europe via the stands. And so for him to go there first, it does sort of send a signal in terms of how important that really is.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell for us in Beijing. Thanks so much for your time.
No worries. Good to talk to you.
Well, as we await details of that meeting, Russia's currency, the ruble, is at a more than three-week high against the U.S. dollar. Checking some other numbers now, global stock markets have steadied today. Benchmarks across Asia ended largely higher. It's a move echoed across European shares, which are up in the 0.2-0.5% range. We've talked a lot about the rising cost of living globally, and data this week have confirmed how much more difficult things are in the UK, with inflation near a 40-year high and slowing economic growth. But as people and businesses continue to tighten their belt straps, news on Thursday that Britain's new finance minister is considering removing the cap on banker bonuses. The BBC's Simon Jack has that story.
Taking the lid off bankers' pay at a time when many households are facing hardship from the rising cost of living will undoubtedly provoke outrage in many quarters. But it is just one of a number of post-Brexit deregulation initiatives being considered. Bosses of financial firms have long complained that the EU-wide rules which cap bonuses at twice an employee's salary have led to higher fixed wage costs that can't be adjusted in line with profits and losses, making the UK less attractive than the US or Asia. Critics have argued that uncapped bonuses lead to the kind of excessive risk-taking that spawned the financial crisis.
That's the BBC's Simon Jack reporting there. To Pakistan now, where nearly 1,500 people have been killed in severe floods that have been described as a climate change-induced catastrophe. A flash appeal launched by Pakistan and the United Nations for funding to help those affected has raised just about a quarter of its $160 million goal. As rescue and evacuation efforts continue there, there's been a surge in cases of malaria and severe gastric infections. Health officials now are worried a health crisis now looms. The BBC's Pumza Fulani reports now from Karachi.
Sakina has been unwell for some days. She has a gastric infection. Her mother, Muna, holds her tightly to her chest and tries to settle her, and it does not help. The little one is dehydrated, hungry, and in pain. Muna has brought the one-year-old to a mobile clinic, hoping she will finally get medical care.
Two of my children are unwell. I don't have any money to care for them. I lost everything in the floods. We do not have enough food to even feed ourselves and our sick children.
The medical van has been visiting communities affected by the floods in Sindh province for several weeks. On this day, there are sick children and adults everywhere and not enough hands to care for them, as one of the senior medics, Dr. Khalid Khosa, explains.
So many people, if they're getting into these problems and they're getting sick, what's going to happen? Of course there are going to be deaths, so we have to save them.
Many people who've been displaced are living near stagnant water, at risk of malaria, dengue and other life-threatening diseases. There have already been several deaths from dengue fever and the cases are increasing by the day. Across Pakistan, thousands of villages are still submerged, leaving families displaced. Hundreds of people, including Muna and her family, have made temporary shelter on a small patch of dry land. The ground may be dry, but that's the only positive. Not only is there no food, there's no clean drinking water. It's a situation growing more desperate by the day. Muna's story is not the only one. She's one of many people I've met in the last few weeks whose lives have been completely destroyed. Officials now say it may take months before the water in Sindh recedes and life can resume. But many people do not have that kind of time. It's a desperate place to be. The people of Pakistan are hoping, as the world hears of their anguish, those with the power to will do something to help them rebuild their lives soon.
That's the BBC's Pumza Fulani reporting from Karachi there. And finally, breaking this hour, President Biden has welcomed what he describes as a tentative agreement between unions and rail companies to avert a nationwide train strike that would have begun as early as tomorrow. Stay with Marketplace. We'll have more on that developing story throughout the morning. For now in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.